The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Get a Casper mattress and start your year off right. Try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Solar eclipse. More on North Korea. Statues are destroying my life. You know, the theme of today's show is America, get a grip. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. I was in Mexico this weekend with Operation Underground Railroad. That is the anti-sex trafficking operation that we helped fund. This audience really puts into action. They have saved people all over the world this time, and only we have some operations going on, but I also spoke to a couple of people, several people, but two in particular, and I want to bring this home to the statues and now the crying Nazi here in America. I spent the weekend with some truly remarkable people who I'm going to introduce you to in the coming days. These are powerful, powerful women. Some of them in the Mexican version of Forbes magazine. I think six of them named Mexico's 100 powerful women, most powerful women. Six of them were from slavery. People that were told they were powerless their entire life, literally. One woman, Carlita, who I met, her mother used to beat her. Her uncle, starting at five, would rape her. At 11, she ran away from home. At 12, she was in the arms of a 20-year-old who said he loved her and would marry her and take her away and had nothing to fear, and then sold her into slavery and would beat her, would burn her with an iron. She came back one time a guy left a hickey on her neck, and so he said, "Oh, you're getting hot with the clients? I'll show you what hot is," and did unspeakable things to her with an iron. But he didn't just stop there. He made her have abortions so the very next day she could go out and perform up to 60 men a day, every day, for 5 years. Her daughter was born. This is after three abortions. She begged him, please, after it was his child. He would rape her, and it was his child. And he only let her keep the baby, she found out later, because he had more control over her, and then he would begin to burn the child. This woman is one of the strongest women I've ever seen in my life. She's 20 now. She's 20. And there is no messing with this woman. She was in a meeting, and I'm gonna introduce you to her. When you see her whole story, it will blow your mind. She was in a meeting, asked to speak at the Vatican. She was in a meeting with a main, I think, European rabbi, the Pope. It was Pope Francis, I think the Dalai Lama was there. The I think a Hindu nun that is the hugging nun. I don't know if you've ever seen her before, but all of these leaders, the Grand Mufti from Iran was even there. All of them, every religion, all to hear her speak. And about halfway through, she stopped and she looked at them and she said, "You know what? I think I need to pray for you." And the Pope was like, okay. And she prayed for them, not the other way around. This woman has gone through everything. And she's not crying. She's getting on with her life. And she's making a profound difference with her life. Another woman I met was a labor slave, which is happening here in America. We just don't want to hear about it. It's happening in Virginia as one of the hotbeds. Our government won't look into it because the Saudi Arabians are involved. Slavery is happening in California, mainly with Asians that are shipped over here in cargo bins. And they're brought over here to the United States and they're sold to Americans to be slaves. This woman was a labor slave in a dry cleaning place. What's a labor slave? Well, she actually had a chain around her neck and a chain around her waist. She was a labor slave for 4 years. The last two, I can't tell you the number of broomsticks that they broke over her head beating her. They also did wonderful things with an iron. She had to iron 20 hours a day. She slept standing up. She was only allowed to go to the bathroom every 2 days. I don't even know how that works. But if she did go to the bathroom, they would beat her. But she didn't really have to worry about it because by the end of it, she was drinking the water out of the iron and eating the dry cleaning bags because she had nothing else. They pulled almost all of her hair out. Her scars from the torture and from the actual chain around her neck and chain around her waist, the scars are still there. You'd never know it. I spend Saturday with them, and then I go home to the hotel, and I turn on TV, and we're talking about the frickin' statues? How embarrassing. Your life is affected by a statue? You're pathetic. You better hope that Darwin is not right. Because if he's right, they're stapling a tail back on the back end of you. You can't handle the statue? Who the hell looks at those statues and says anything other than, what the hell is that? Why? Why do we have that guy up here? I was so crippled. I just couldn't function. Oh my gosh. Get a grip, America. Is this really what we've turned into? A bunch of sniveling brats? Mom, where are my cookies? Let me play. Do you remember last week the audio of the Nazi that was saying junk about Donald Trump? Remember how tough he was? Listen to him spout off now about Donald Trump and his Jewish son-in-law.
I'm here to spread ideas, talk, in the hopes that somebody more capable will come along and do that. Somebody like Donald Trump who does not give his daughter to a Jew.
So Donald Trump, but like more racist.
a lot more racist than Donald Trump. I don't think that you could feel about race the way I do and watch that Kushner bastard walk around with that beautiful girl, okay?
Tough guy.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
He's tough.
Until this weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, here's who you're afraid of, America. This is who you're afraid of. Listen to him now over the weekend because they had an arrest warrant out for him.
I contacted the local police. I called the Charlottesville Police Department and I asked them, I said, I have been told that there's a warrant out for my arrest. And they said that they wouldn't confirm it, but that I could find this out.
Is he crying?
If I, excuse me.
He's crying. He's crying.
That I could find this out if I wanted to go to a local magistrate or something like that. But with everything that's happening, I don't think it's wise for me to be, you know, going anywhere. There's a state of emergency. The National Guard is here.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so I don't think it's a good idea for me to go there, frankly. Right. And I don't know what to do. I've emailed Stephen Tenney of the Keene Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's okay.
We're here.
We're supposed Stephen to be Tenney afraid of Department. This guy.
He's one of the cops who came there. he's one of the cops who saved my ass when I had to pull my gun in Keene.
Okay.
And I emailed him and I said, I don't know what to do. I need guidance. I want to be peaceful. I want to be law-abiding. Okay, that was the whole entire point of this. Okay. And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests.
Oh, no.
We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful.
We have tried to be good Nazis. We've tried to do all the good Nazi things. We've tried to do the right Nazi stuff. And what happens to us? It's getting to the point where you can't even do good Nazi stuff in this country and get away with it.
I cannot believe. I just can't believe.
It's amazing.
That the Nazis overseas are going, good Lord, the American Nazis.
You know, I know we talk a lot on the internet, right? But like literally, Jason Kessler applied for a permit like months ago for this, okay? When they yanked our permit, we went to the ACLU and we went to court and we won.
And we won.
We've been coordinating with law enforcement the entire time. Every step of the way, we've tried to do the right thing. And they just won't stop, you know? We have done everything in our power. We have used every peaceful and lawful means by which to redress our grievances.
Stop. We are the first people in human history who has members of the Nazi Party leadership who are probably still on mommy and daddy's insurance. We're supposed to be afraid of this guy? America, get a grip. Get a grip. You white supremacists who think that whites are somehow superior over everybody else, oh my gosh, hello, Mr. 1849. Read a book. All of you Antifa members. Hello, Mr. 1920. You are all in the dustbin of history, and America rejects the communists and the Nazis. I think we did that about 1940. I think you can read anything about the Nazis. Kindergartners can read anything about the Nazis and know they're pathetic. They're evil and pathetic. If you think that's the answer, you better check yourself because you may be evil, but you're definitely pathetic. And the same thing, let me just grab the big book, the black book of communism. Why don't you read that for a day? But you Antifa members, really? You can't even handle speech. And for the rest of the country, you think you can stop these people? How are you going to stop the Nazis? Our grandparents actually had a spine. Our grandparents actually worked for a living. Our grandparents actually did their best to be strong individuals. What are we doing? We're offended by everything. We're offended by everything. I just don't know how I could possibly go on. I just don't know. Do you know how ridiculous we look as a nation? Forget about the president. We've got Nazis and communists running our lives. And it's maybe, 10% of the population. And 90% is cowering in the corner. I'm not afraid of the Nazis. I'm not afraid of the communists. We surround them. You know who I'm afraid of? Pathetic weaklings that cannot handle anything. Let me tell you this. No one controls your story but you. Your life is a blank piece of paper. Nobody writes anything on that paper but you. You want to be powerful? Start believing in the power of the individual. Start believing in yourself. No statue. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Andrew Jackson, I see that statue. Do you know what he's saying about me? No, because it's a statue, and the actual Andrew Jackson has been dead. Sponsor this half hour. It's Casper Sleep. How old is your mattress? Tossing and turning, sleep is way too important to your health to stay with a bad mattress. You need a good mattress, one that you can actually get a good night's sleep on. And Casper has two high-tech foams that guarantee that you have a great night's sleep, sleeping cool, comfortable, and fully supported every night. It ships free in a box that's so small you're not going to believe it, that it holds a mattress. Trust me, open it up on the box spring or open it up in the bedroom, because once you open that box and you cut the plastic off of it, it springs to life, and it is a huge mattress. But it's in a box small enough that you can carry from the front porch. Casper makes it so you can try it risk-free for 100 nights in your own home. If you don't love your Casper, they're going to come and pick it up and refund everything. No questions asked. Sleeping on a mattress, the best way to try it. Much better than lying one in a crowded store for a few minutes and going, I don't know, I don't feel the difference anymore. Try yours for 100 nights risk-free with free returns. It's Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. We
are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
There's a ton of things that I have to do this year. One of them, get organized, get into better shape, spend more time with family and friends. And to do it all, I have to be well rested. And that starts with getting a great night's sleep, which you're guaranteed to get every night when you sleep on a Casper mattress like I do. Casper is, I think, the perfect mattress, not only because it is really, really comfortable, it supports my back and everything else, but it is so wildly inexpensive when you A-B compare. Casper mattress, I'm not alone in loving it. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. The mattress ships for free in a box so small you're going to be saying to yourself, how the heck do they get it in there? Get a Casper now. Start your year off right. Try yours in your home for 100 nights free with shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com/Glenn. That's $50 off the purchase of your mattress. You can do it right now. Casper.com/Glenn. $50 towards the purchase of your mattress, inexpensive, and a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727 Beck.
Hello, America. Sorry to start off the day with such horror stories that I saw this weekend, but I have to tell you, this argument over the statues is just child's play. Really? That's what is holding us back? the statues, whether, and quite honestly, whether they're there or not there. That's what's holding us back. Really. Wow. Wow. Ooh, because I know how oppressed I am on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Oh, my gosh. The guy, you know, the guy who advocated going and beating people who were coming across the border. That super, super delicious guy. I'm on Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and I am so oppressed. I remember the last time, Pat, we were at Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I began to feel so bad about myself that I just didn't think I would be able to move on. I began to question everything about me, and I realized how powerless I was because of that boulevard. Oh my gosh. Grow up. Life is hard. Then it gets harder. Then you die. How do you like that reality? Make something of your life. Become who you were meant to be, not who you have allowed yourself to become, because who we are allowing ourselves to become is pathetic.
Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is really sad. The white supremacist Chris Cantwell, who is, of course, a fascist. You know, here's a guy who says, you know, Hitler did nothing wrong. And then is you know, saying, you know, Sieg Heil, and that, you know, the black race and the Jews need to be wiped out. And then is crying on television because there's a warrant out for his arrest. Is he serious?
Well, don't forget don't leave off the part where he gets booted from OkCupid and no longer has his account active.
Right.
I mean, how is it? I mean, white supremacists need love,
too. Just
because
you're a white supremacist, you can't date, you know, attractive females?
I mean,
can't we let him? You just can't get them through OkCupid.
You just hope the market would shake out on OkCupid and people would maybe not want to date him. But right. No, OkCupid had to take that step and go in there and make sure.
Right.
Facebook, I believe, also, because Facebook has just said that there is no place for hate.
Good.
Unless you hate Trump. Then there's a place. There's a lot of places for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you hate the right people, there's plenty of places on Facebook for you.
It's a weird thing, because how do you feel about this trend? Because this is the same thing. This has been going on for the last weeks and more since Charlottesville, of everybody getting outed of these rallies, and then they go to fire the person for where they work.
And they're getting kicked out of college. Colleges are booting them out.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do. Maybe you could leave them in college so they can get a clue.
Yeah, maybe they would learn something that would disprove their beliefs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, did you hear about the guy who, he was in Berkeley, and he traveled across the country to go to Charlottesville, went to the rally. A Twitter account was taking, you know, looking at all the photos, trying to identify them. They identified this guy. He worked in the back kitchen of a hot dog place. And now
he's like Der Wienersnitz.
No, it's called Top Dog, I think.
Mm-hmm. Top Dog.
Yes. Apparently good hot dogs, according to the reviews online.
You would not want to besmirch
a hot dog place. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And he didn't, because he had to leave.
And so they say he resigned. You know, there's a question as to...
I don't believe there is a resignation process at Top Dog. I mean...
But I...
I hereby officially tender my resignation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those letters are written at a hot dog stand.
So I'm torn on this. Because if you found out that Jeffy was at the Charlottesville rally with a hood and a swastika flag, you would fire him immediately.
Yes, and I would have a right as a company to do that.
You would. And I would feel the same way. Would not want to work with somebody like that.
Correct.
However, at some level... Because that's a public-facing job. As sad as it is, Jeffy actually interacts with the public, and I can understand that. Is our goal as a society that a white supremacist never works again, so we just all come together and pay for him so he's on public assistance for the rest of his life? Is that what we all want from out of this? I don't know. I'm torn because if I was a business owner, damn straight, I'd be firing that guy. However, I don't know that as a society, what we're saying is we don't want people who have crazy beliefs to have jobs at hot dog stands. I don't know if that's the right thing either.
I mean, you know, the hot dog stand. But if the hot dog stand is privately owned.
Has the right to do
you
it.
You have the right to do it.
The question is it what if we want as a society?
If they want to hire all white supremacists at the hot dog stand has a right to do
absolutely.
That. And I, as a customer, have a right to go, don't go to that hot dog stand. What are you, nuts? They're all white supremacists.
And I'm sure that's exactly what happened, right?
Yes.
People would say, I'm not going to go there. There's a white supremacist making my hot dogs. But unless he was making worse hot dogs for black people, I mean, it's not necessarily affecting his job performance. He's not interacting with customers. I understand it because as a business owner, I would feel that way. However, the left has built a structure in which every single person who doesn't have a job gets paid for by us.
Mm-hmm.
So now, instead of paying for hot dogs and this guy is living on his own, we're now going to funnel our tax dollars to this man so he can sit at home for the rest of his life because he has
and
really crappy
plot
beliefs.
Revolutions or right. whatever.
At least he was distracted by the ketchup and mustard before. Now he's going to just have all the free time in the world to sit here and plot world domination.
No way to answer that, Stu, because we're living in a society now that is so hell-bent on you've made one mistake in your life. I'm not saying that, you know.
Right, this is a big one.
Yeah, this is a pretty
it's a
big
really
one.
Really big mistake.
But I mean, you know, you do one thing that society disagrees with and you're out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we go back to the Mozilla CEO who donated to a cause that won the election, the gay marriage proposition in California. This was not an unpopular, it won. It wasn't like an unpopular thing where 10% of the voters felt this really racist way. This was an actual successful ballot initiative. And he donated a couple of $100 to it and he lost his job because of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a, I don't know what standard and what we're trying to implement here, but I'm very torn on that one.
There is no standard. It's mob rule. There is no standard. Do you hear anybody saying from either side, hang on, guys. Okay, I see the point of the statues. I see your point because I agree with you. Some of these statues are, I mean, these guys were all traitors to the United States of America. And they were all, many of them, not all of them, white supremacists. They believed in the superiority of white people. Now, let's separate those people like Thomas Jefferson, who believed that because that was the standard operating procedure back then. Everybody believed that. And look at Thomas Jefferson and look at his writings where he's like, you know what? I don't think we are superior in all ways, guys. I think we're missing the boat here. I think there's some things here that we're missing. Let's take people back in their time period and then look, were they, yeah, I don't really care and I'm just going to chain them up because I can because they're furniture. And never had any kind of an awakening and tried to fight against slavery. That's Thomas Jefferson. That's not Jefferson Davis. That's not Jefferson Davis.
It's not Woodrow Wilson.
It's not Woodrow Wilson.
Who took a country moving the way towards freedom and tried to drag it back into chains.
Yeah. And, no,
and he still
didn't
praised.
Try. He did.
And he did. He reignited the KKK.
Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is one of the biggest, and she still, I got news for you, Andrew Jackson, he's not affecting anybody today. Whatever he started is not affecting anyone today.
Margaret Sanger's legacy sure is.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. And still killing black children at quite a clip. And that was her whole point.
Yes,
so
it was.
Do you see anybody sitting down and saying, okay, wait a minute. All right, let's look at history. Let's really look at history. Let's have this conversation. First of all, Is that really your priority? Is this your priority? We're so free of problems that we can sit down and say, you know, that statue in the park, let's get down to that. We're so free of problems that that's what we're spending our time on. Wow.
And the media members who have been advocating that viewpoint, we got to remove all the offensive statues, walk around the city that they live in New York, and are faced with all sorts of offensive artwork and statues. And do they do anything about it?
No.
No. Of course not, because it's not real, right? It's not what they actually believe. It's just in front of them as the news of the day.
Nobody believes this stuff. Nobody. I mean, fringes believe it. Fringes believe it. There aren't people. The only reason why I think the average person on the right is concerned about this at all is because you know they're coming for George Washington. I mean, they already are. They're coming for George Washington. They're coming for Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, they're coming for Benjamin Franklin.
Did you see that the National Mall, the foundation that runs the National Mall, they're already going to redesign some of the Jefferson Memorial?
Yeah.
To include that he was a slaveholder and those.
Well, if, and I don't have a problem with that, if they represent that correctly.
Right.
I mean, George Washington, you were not allowed in Virginia to free your slaves. Thomas Jefferson fought the Virginia legislature twice. Mm-hmm. Twice he tried to change this. They kept making it stronger. George Washington freed his slaves on death, which you could do if you were debt free. He freed his slaves on death. That's the only
and
way.
And they eliminated that loophole that Washington used.
And it's the only way that you could free your slaves. Eliminate the loophole, or in Thomas Jefferson's case, you couldn't do it also if you were in debt. If you were in debt, mm-hmm. that was an asset. You had to sell the slaves to pay off your debt after you're dead. So don't talk to me about that. If you want to put that history in with the Jefferson Memorial and say he was the most conflicted man ever, he wrote, "All men are created equal," and at times it seems as though he missed that point. But he was a deeply conflicted man in the time period that he was living. He was trying to figure it out and way ahead of most people.
You're not going to get that explanation.
You're never going to get
that
explanation.
At the memorial.
No.
You're just not going to.
You're never going to get it.
Not a chance.
Why would you get it at a memorial when you can't get it in a class in a university?
Yeah. And still, in the article, it mentions, and he's believed to have fathered six children of slaves. Gosh. Can we stop with that false narrative? It's a lie. He did not. It has not. It's been so discredited now for 20 years. Can we put that to rest? Yep. It wasn't him.
I mean, even though they're
unbelievable,
they even say it at his, you know, I mean,
Monticello.
Monticello.
It's crazy.
I mean, they say it most likely is true.
It is not most likely true.
When you can show me the DNA evidence, and that's what they base that on. Is DNA mm-hmm. evidence. That evidence was evidence for about, 3 weeks, Pat?
Yeah.
About 3 weeks before it was disproven to be an absolute lie. And it was corrected by all the press, but apparently history books didn't get that memo. Why? Because they have an agenda. That's mm-hmm. why. Sponsor this half hour is American Financing. Okay. Moving can be one of the most stressful things that you do. You find the right house, right price, right location, right school district, the right house to raise your family. Now you have to get the mortgage. Don't let the mortgage trip you up. There are salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing that are dedicated to helping you make the smart mortgage decisions that will align with your financial goals. With American Financing, you're going to get straightforward and an effortless mortgage experience. American Financing also now doing reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages, good way to increase your monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment. while you're still retaining the ownership of your home. Call their number at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So, Jerry Lewis passed away over the weekend, which is tragically sad. If you're my age at all, you grew up with Labor Day weekend being the Jerry Lewis telethon. I remember a Labor Day weekend. All I wanted to do as a kid was watch the Jerry Lewis telethon all weekend long, and you'd stay up really late. Your mom would yell at you and turn off the TV, and you wanted to watch it, and we would all rush to the TV on that. Did it end on Monday, I think? And you would look at the total and
you'd cry when the numbers came up.
Yeah. You'd call in a bunch of money and say you're going to donate a bunch of money, so you'd watch the tote board roll over, but you knew you were never going to give it. You do that all Labor Day weekend? Did you used to do that?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No. He raised $2 billion.
He was great.
$2 billion for
he was a really a muscular sad, dystrophy. Really sad character. Really a sad character. I think he was... I think he was emotionally spent at the end of his life. Maybe in the towards the beginning of his life, he was really, really, really funny, but in so much pain because of his backs. He used to do pratfalls. I can't remember. He gave a number one time of how many pratfalls he figured he had done without even thinking. And he said, you just can't fall like that over and over and over again without hurting your back, and destroyed his back and was in so much pain several times, came close to suicide.
I think he eventually had an implant or something put in there.
He was one of the first ones, to have the electric implant that would, shock it back into your body. Give yourself enough electric shocks, and I guess the theory was you won't feel that anymore.
And everybody remembers that legendary time when he and Dean Martin were reunited in 1976 on the telethon by Frank Sinatra. They hadn't seen each other or spoken in 20 years.
Why is it? They have falling out?
Oh, big time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, big time falling out. Yeah, a little jealousy. Gets in the way of nice partnerships.
Really sometimes. Sad. Yeah. Jerry Lewis passing away this weekend, just a few weeks away from Labor Day, which was his telethon weekend.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Get a Casper mattress and start your year off right. Try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Warning. Today they're saying the biggest driver distraction in the history of cars.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Accidents could pile up. The last time there was a solar eclipse... 6.16 million cars were on the road. That was in 1918. Today, over 263 million. But this is the least dire of the predictions of what is coming because of the eclipse. Oh my goodness. We begin there right now.
Cause we are one.
entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We are forced to the amazing conclusion that in the future there will not be another opportunity to view a total eclipse of the sun from the continent of the United States under conditions that are really favorable and promise scientific success until the eclipse of August 21st, 2017 and April 8th, 2024. This was in the paper in 1932 when they were talking about the partial eclipse that was going to be seen in the United States and how bad the weather was going to be. There are people now that are, they have rented Airbnb during the weekend, $4.99 for three nights. You just sleep in somebody's backyard. Should have rented the ranch. The ranch is right in the path.
Oh, man. Yes.
Wow.
You should have, yeah.
Is anybody interested? I mean, is there anybody really like, oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yes.
Oh, Jeffy's got the glasses on. I hope those are the glasses that burn your eyes out.
I hope what you have are magnifying glasses on the outside of that. It just like burns it even worse.
Do you remember, is it just me? I remember in the 70s when there was an eclipse, we just took a piece of paper and put a pinhole in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember my teacher screwing with me.
No, we did that.
I think that's actually
that was a partial eclipse.
You can still do that, right?
I think so. We weren't supposed to have like a cardboard box over our head at one point that you could view it through with some. I'm pretty sure.
They suggest a plastic bag.
Tied tightly around, around the collarbone.
I wouldn't be able to breathe if I did that.
During an eclipse, it's different. During an eclipse, it's totally different, Jeffy.
I thought this was an interesting piece of advice. Don't worry about the glasses. Just turn on your camera on selfie mode and then just look at it over your shoulder.
That probably works.
Fine.
No, because it'll burn your phone.
It
will burn your phone.
Have you seen how stupid people are? I mean,
There's all kinds of predictions about what's going to happen.
Oh, no. I mean the one who was like, we're not going to be back. I know that's the first day of school, but my kids and I won't be back. Can it be moved? Anyway, this could be moved to the week after. Because the school was like, hey, it's first day of school, and, the solar eclipse is happening. We need permission slips, and you need to have these kind of glasses, and the kids can go out and watch it. And some of the parents are like, God, can we move it to next week? Because we're not going to be around. No. Hey,
can we move the eclipse?
Yeah, we can't move the eclipse.
Yeah, someone will stop the rotation of the moon and the earth.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow, are we stupid.
Wow.
People are saying, by the way, if you do the camera thing, that it will hurt your camera. It will hurt your camera.
Yes, just what I said. Just going to burn your phone.
Is that real?
Yes. You can't be blasting that at the eclipse.
Blasting that?
Yeah,
that
turn it on and blast it. The sun and the moon and the eclipse will fry your phone. In fact,
that is
I want you to try.
That is such a lie.
I want you to try it.
That is such a lie.
I want you to try it.
You can take a picture of the sun with your phone.
Right.
You can?
Well, I've never tried it. Well,
there you go.
But I'm sure you can. What do you mean, fry the phone?
Okay. Just telling you what the...
Look it up.
Show me the
accredited. Are these the glasses that... Have you seen the people that are selling the fake glasses?
Yeah, I'm actually worried about it because I guess a lot of people... There's a specific thing you have to have on them. ISO 12312-2... 2015.
Like you couldn't print that on the
fake
glasses?
Right, you can print that on any fake glasses, but if you don't have the specific glasses, it could still be damaging. And like my kids are at elementary school and they have this, they're all going to go out and watch it with the glasses. And they ordered the glasses and the glasses they ordered got recalled. So they would have been out there staring at the eclipse with the wrong glasses and God only knows what would have happened.
Well, hopefully they got the glasses with the right numbers and the right lenses.
Yes, the lens are the more important thing. However, they're just not going to do it because they couldn't get the right glasses in time, which I thought was, you know,
that's good. Did you teach them the piece of paper thing?
No, I don't want. I don't need them to look at it. It's,
no, you know, you don't put a pinhole. You don't stare at the sun. You take a piece of paper. If I remember right, this has been since I was a kid, but if I remember right, you take a pinhole in one piece of paper and then another piece of paper, and you do this until it focuses on the lower piece of paper. Isn't that right, Pat? Do you remember?
I don't remember all the details.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way it worked. In the old days, we had two pieces of paper, and we liked it. That's all we had.
I just think it's going to be weird, because it kind of gets to be dark, right? I mean, like, you're going to...
No, it'll be in some... It'll be... The sky will turn night, so that you'll be able to see the stars and the actual solar... what is it called? Aura? Is that what it's called? The actual flares around the sun. At the full eclipse, all you'll be able to see is, the edges of the sun. Arona? What is that?
The corona?
No. Yeah,
it's corona light.
Yeah,
corona. It doesn't taste quite the same.
We have producers in the other room going, yeah, it's corona. I don't know what it is, but the actual edges of the sun, the actual flare, you'll be able to see that, and then it'll look like a night sky, and it'll be dark everywhere, which, of course, means magic.
Magic?
It means magic. Yeah, it means the sky is falling and magic and
werewolves come out.
Yeah. Book of Revelation stuff. Mm-hmm. This is I was actually in Mexico this weekend and I flew back and I was at the border and they checked my luggage and good thing, man. I had 4 bricks of cocaine in my luggage, but the dogs didn't smell it because I stuffed a dead body in there with it. And so the dogs were totally thrown off the scent of the cocaine. Anyway, yeah, I thought so. So I'm there, and the guy starts talking to me. We were on a Operation Underground Rescue, railroad rescue mission, and I had just spent the weekend just hearing some unbelievably tragic stories. And just seeing the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. And we come back and we step off the plane so we can go through customs. And Tanya says, it's nice to be back in the United States. And I said, yes, it is. And we start talking to the guy who's the Border Patrol. And he said, you ready for the eclipse? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I ready? Oh, whew, yeah, am I ready? I'm ready. And he said, well, you know, this goes into Planet 10.
What?
That's what I said. I'm sorry, what? He said, this is part of, you know, Planet 10. You're going to be able to see a lot more about Planet 10 because of this eclipse. And I said... Oh, okay. And he said, and you know what happens on September 21st? And I said, no. And he said, well, that's when Virgo and, you know.
When the moon is in the seventh house.
Nacho Libra or whatever.
Jupiter aligns with Mars.
All lines up. And the women and the stars and her hair and it's all. And... I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And that's when Tanya said, hey, honey, there's a giant fly eating our car outside. We should go. And I'm like, oh, I got to go. There's a giant fly eating my car outside. So, oh, well, watch out for that. The guy was out of his mind, nuts, and was convinced that all of this is just heralding the end of time. It's a, you know, it's a solar eclipse, dude. They happen. I don't know if you know that, but they happen.
Kind of a regular Yeah. Predicted basis.
Predictable. Yeah. Yes, very predictable.
Uh-huh. On Twitter, at World of Stew, Glenn tweets, he says, doesn't the Blaze get a daily eclipse when Jeffy walks in the building?
Yes. Yes, we do.
That's not nice. No, I don't like it. And
well,
I'm mad at him.
The truth is not always nice, is it?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's not just right.
It doesn't have an agenda, and that's one thing. It lives here, and it does not have an agenda.
The problem is it doesn't. There's absolutely no, a solar eclipse is not on a timetable. There's no timetable, and 14 areas of the building are just plunged into darkness when he walks in, and it's, anyway.
It's science, scary. Jeffy. It's okay. You can't don't be afraid of science.
So, do you know what the stars thing? What the lineup of the Virgo and do you know what that is? There's another alignment that is coming.
Isn't that where peace will guide the planet and love will steer the stars?
No, you may be quoting a song. About? I'm not.
No, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, there's something that's happening in September. And it's the first time, I think, in like 7,000 years, at least,
where planets align?
Yeah, that's where he said it was the first in 7,000 years. And I said, huh, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't know about that one. So
I do. I'm looking up the Planet X thing or Planet 10, whichever. Caltech researchers supposedly have found evidence suggesting there may be a Planet X deep in the solar system. Way beyond Pluto. The size of Neptune.
Right. I've read that, and it seems like that's a possibility. He did
Is
tie...
that not what he was talking about?
Well, he may have he been did talking tie, about... And I'm not kidding. I am not kidding.
September 23rd.
He did tie in Planet 10 to the deep state not wanting us to know. And
what?
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't want us to know about another planet?
Yeah.
Because on September 23rd, the sun will be in the zodiac constellation Virgo.
I did at one point think, I think I'm going back to Mexico. I think this is our border patrol. I might just take an extended vacation because I may be entering the twilight zone. I think somehow or another, the plane flew through a wormhole because this guy's not making much sense, but maybe it was just me. By the way, they are looking for the first time at the power grid because of this, and not because of magic, but because the power grid, they say in some areas, is actually putting a lot of, there's a lot of electricity going into the power grid from solar power panels. And so they're watching the power grid because as the eclipse happens, they're expecting a huge draw for those couple, 3 to 10 minutes of power. Be the first time that's happened too, which of course means Christ is coming back.
From Planet 10?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's on a flight from Planet 10.
Yes.
And he's going to
don't
land
mock
here.
This.
Well, if you don't have the 5 or 10 minutes of solar power.
We're cooked as a country anyway.
You know Jesus has to come back. Yeah. He has to.
Yeah. And now this. By the way, I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Number is 888-727-BECK. When did... When did the last update on your phone happen? The last operating system update. Security researcher discovered a bug buried deep in an obscure Wi-Fi chip, making billions of cell phones vulnerable to exploitation. The vulnerability could wipe out all of the security controls built into your mobile phone, allowing hackers to break in and even use it to infect other devices. That's great. Is there anybody else that... There's a little part of them, just a small slice of them, that hopes that the sun just falls out of its fixed place in the heaven and just starts spiraling towards Earth today. Maybe just a
Nobody?
No.
Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. And if there's a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity thefts monitor all the transactions at all businesses. But right now, you can get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK, or you can visit lifelock.com and use the promo code BECK15. That's BECK15, promo code BECK15. Save 15% off your first year. The offer ends August 27th. Hurry. Terms and conditions do apply, and Jesus is coming. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK15. 1-800-LIFELOCK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
There's a ton of things that I have to do this year. One of them, get organized, get into better shape, spend more time with family and friends. And to do it all, I have to be well rested. And that starts with getting a great night's sleep, which you're guaranteed to get every night when you sleep on a Casper mattress like I do. Casper is, I think, the perfect mattress, not only because it is really, really comfortable, it supports my back and everything else, but it is so wildly inexpensive when you A-B compare. Casper mattress, I'm not alone in loving it. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. The mattress ships for free in a box so small you're going to be saying to yourself, how the heck do they get it in there? Get a Casper now. Start your year off right. Try yours in your home for 100 nights free with shipping and returns. Go to casper.com/Glenn. That's $50 off the purchase of your mattress. You can do it right now. casper.com/Glenn. $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Inexpensive and a great night's sleep. casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I believe we have found a Pat Gray rabbit hole. It is planet 10.
Definitely.
It is the planet that is just outside of our known solar system.
It's so far out, they say it would take between 10 and 20,000 years to orbit the sun once. Wow. I mean, that's cool.
And the size of Neptune.
Cool. Yeah, huge.
Which is big. Bigger than, like, the continental U.S., for sure.
It's bigger than, yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. How many Neptunes could we get between here and the moon?
12. We could get 12 Neptunes.
12, teen.
I think you're making that up. I don't think you know that.
You'd have to pack them in really tight. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they're made of gas, so they're like a bubble. You can kind of push them in.
Oh, now you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was asked, don't ever ask a question that you don't know the answer to. How come we didn't see this?
What, the planet?
Yes.
Well, they're not positive it's even there yet. So, I don't know. Maybe the sun doesn't reflect off of it really strongly. I don't know.
Well, but you should see it block stars, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you?
Well, they think it's holding things like Neptune in place and some other crazy things that are orbiting the sun.
So it's an oppressor. It's the oppressor planet.
Yes, it is. It's keeping things in place.
Wow.
Oppressing them.
Right.
And not allowing them to flow freely throughout the universe.
And even taking, some people are calling it Planet 9, which is Pluto.
Which, because of the demotion of Pluto, which was wrong to begin with.
Pluto is still kind of a planet.
Big enough to be a planet. They say it's not a planet.
Dwarf planet.
Well, what is it? What is it then?
It's a trabuchet mockery is what it
is. That's exactly what it is. Imagine the oppression the poor Plutonians feel. They're like, we're people, we're not people. We're a planet, we're not planet.
Now they're calling it a dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet, yeah.
What's a dwarf planet?
It's a small planet.
Well, I know that.
And it's a politically correct way.
So is it the size of our moon? How big is it?
It's not very big. It's not very big at all. In fact, isn't Pluto, is it smaller than the moon? I frankly don't remember.
How come we see?
Might be.
How can we see Pluto, which is smaller than the moon, and yet something that's big enough to keep all the planets in line, bigger than Neptune? We can't see that one.
Let's place a call to NASA. And
all right,
I think
a lot of people are probably thinking why we're spending so much time on this when there's actual real news going on. Like, for example, the fact that you have a Coke Zero Sugar in front of you. Not Coke Zero, but a Coke Zero Sugar, the first one I've ever seen, sitting right there, that you have not taken a sip of.
I haven't even taken a sip of it yet.
I want a taste test. That's real news.
Should do a blind taste test and see if you can tell the difference.
That, as a country.
Yes!
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow. Holy cow. Let me tell you, New York Central Park Saturday, the statue of J. Marion Sims has now been designated as offensive by the local activist group, the Black Youth Project 100.
Statue of who?
Don't pretend you don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I
take the pointy hood
there.
Off and listen. J. Marion Sims.
Oh, okay, J. Okay. Marion Sims.
Right.
All right, I'm with you now. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Women of many races and ages protested the statues this weekend, and many of them donned the fake blood-stained hospital gowns that J. Marion Sims was, of course, known for.
Right.
Sure. Well, he was the father of modern gynecology, most consider him a natural-born feminist. For the strides that he made in women's health care in the 19th century, he developed a life-saving surgery to reduce maternal mortality rates. He founded the first women's hospital in 1855. However, he used enslaved African-American women against their will and without pain medication, and used them as subjects of experiments to further his medical agenda. It was confirmed now that in the 4 years, 1845, 1849, that he experimented on 12 African-American slaves. After 13 operations on one of the girls, she was considered cured and the operation deemed a success. Despite the fact that anesthesia was available, he opted out of using those drugs. Now, here's the deal. I don't know anything about this guy. Nobody does. And perhaps if you're an expert on this guy, you have too much time on your hands. I'm just saying. If he was doing experiments on slaves, really bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
However, let's make sure we understand anesthesia. Back in the day, in those times, and look it up, back in the day, anesthesia was not something that many doctors wanted. They thought that this was a bad thing. And the reason why is during the transition into anesthesia, one of the reasons doctors were known as the best doctors is they were the fastest. They weren't the best. They were the fastest. And in fact, at the time, they weren't wearing white gowns. They were wearing gowns that were full of blood. And so when they would come in and they would talk to you as the next patient, you would want the guy with the bloodiest gown, because that showed to you that he had done this many times. And so there was a real fight among surgeons about anesthesia. And many of the top surgeons of the day said, I don't want anesthesia. We don't want it. And it was a weird thing that they thought it could be dangerous. But also many of them thought it will put me out of business because I'm known as the fastest. And now if you could just twiddle your thumbs and just root around in there, I'm going to take the leg off and I'm going to take it off the fastest. They were the most brutal of the doctors. This is the life that was lived in the 1800s. And that's the way doctors were. But why actually talk about the times and anesthesia and get all of the facts? Let's just quick gather a mob and tear a statue down.
It's all historical context is the most important thing when you're discussing any figure in history, right? I mean, you look at sports. There are people who had, in the dead ball era, through, you know, three times as many innings as the player pitchers do today and had incredible ERAs that could not be compared. But, I mean, you can't look at that. It was a different era. No one hit any home runs. Entire teams would go, you know, seasons with barely any home runs at all. Now they hit tons. You can't look at those players and compare them numbers to numbers. You have to take them in the context of that moment in history.
I'm not interested in doing that. I would like to somebody look up the four statues in Central Park that I guarantee you will not have any protests on. But there are four statues at the end of the park, and I know very little about them, other than they were a Rockefeller project. And the Avenue of the Americas was named that by Rockefeller because he was trying to knit together, as a progressive, a borderless world in this hemisphere. And so he put statues up, if I'm not mistaken, of... I think it's four people. I think a couple of them were brutal dictators that were oppressors of their countries. Look that up and we'll come back to that. Because I bet you nobody's talking about that. Nobody, and they don't care about any of that.
Well, I mean, you've talked about this before going back many years and got in trouble for it by many on the left when you pointed out the history of the art in Rockefeller Center. In 30 Rock, right? Where it was, I mean, tied to Mussolini. If I remember right.
A huge relief on the Italian building on Mussolini. They had, in fact, it was destroyed, but it was only destroyed because Rockefeller was depicted in the picture as syphilis, and he didn't like that. And he was paying for the mural. But Diego Rivera, who was, what's her name?
Frida.
Frida's husband. He went down to Mexico City. And I happened to be in Mexico City over the weekend. And I stopped into the Palace of Fine Arts because I wanted to see this. I have never seen this mural before, this plaster mural that was originally in the lobby of 30 Rock. And if it wouldn't have had John D. Rockefeller in it, nobody would have cared. He would have let it go up. But it shows Lenin, Stalin, Trotsky, and Marx on one side, and it shows this grand utopia and how all the women and the people of color are all coming together and the workers of the world are uniting. And on the other side, it has the great men of science and Rockefeller and all of these people depicted as death and bacteria and the war machine being cranked out while people are rioting and starving in the streets. And if you look this up, it will say some believe that it is anti-capitalist. I urge you to go look that up and tell me how it can't be anti-capitalist, and tell me how it's neutral in any way, shape, or form. Tell me how it's not the biggest communist piece of crap you've ever seen. But if that was up in Rockefeller Center today, nobody would say a word about it. Nobody would say a word.
Just as they don't say a word about the statue of Lenin that was up on somebody's rooftop. I mean, Nobody cared about that. Nobody cared about that.
So they were going to sell this building. It was on the top of a building. The building was called Red Square. It's the name of the building.
Is this in Seattle?
No, it's in New York. There is one in Seattle, though, too. But listen to the way, think about how you've heard of the media talking about Confederate statues over the past few weeks. And listen to the way the New York Times talked about this Lenin statue, which they wound up taking down and moving because they wanted to sell the building. And someone, for some reason, didn't want a Vladimir Lenin statue on top of their building. Over time, it became one of the most familiar pieces of art in the neighborhood, seen by some as a bit of kitsch. and by others as a contextual nod to the days where the communist meeting halls dotted the nearby blocks and May Day marches drew tens of thousands. Michael Rosen, the developer of one of the owners of the building called Red Square, said he had learned that it was going to be sold to someone who might not want to keep the likeness of Lenin. This is America, by the way. I just want to make sure everyone's understanding that. He then said he arranged with a business partner to take down the statue, which he installed in 1994 as sort of an experiment with symbols. I wanted to do something creative, fun, an homage to the history of the Lower East Side, which had been a hotbed of political thought. He said, adding that the statue originally had been positioned to appear as if Lenin was waving towards Wall Street.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wait.
If you wanted to do this as a neighborhood of kitsch, and you could say this, what is the neighborhood in Richmond that I think has, I don't know, has Grant, I think, at one end, and it's all the grand houses of Richmond. And it's, you know, it's just this beautiful street in Richmond with all of the old, 1800s homes. And then I think it's Lee on one end of the street. And I don't know, maybe Jefferson Davis at the other end. I'm not sure. Well, isn't that a neighborhood of kitsch? Couldn't you say that?
You could say it. Nobody would listen to you. You could say it, but they wouldn't listen to you.
Yes.
Yeah, but on the communist thing, that for some reason nobody cares about communism. It's claimed more lives on this planet than anything except disease, and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
How can that be? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever reservations people may have had about the building. Now, what are the reservations there? I don't know, 100 million dead, right? Yeah, maybe that would be one of the reservations.
Something we fought against for 60 years?
No, that's not it. I'm completely aware it was filled with contradictions. We were building a building that was going to be rented at rates that were not otherwise affordable in the neighborhood.
Jeez.
That's the contradiction they're uncomfortable with. Not the fact that there's a communist that inspired 100 million dead, 20 million in his own country. No, it was the rents were too high for the rest of the neighborhood. That was the contradiction. And it was like, this is supposed to be a good communist symbol. And we're rent. And look at the capitalists charging all this money. That's the contradiction they're worried about. They go on to say one of the people who liked the statue, because it, quote, appeared to have more fans than detractors.
Jeez.
Among them was Joe Sims, a member of the Communist USA's national board. At certain points in our history, communists were demonized. A lot of that is gone now. This is all from the same article. Now, again, this is, would they say that? You know what? A lot of times the KKK was demonized, but not so much now. And they seem to have more fans than detractors.
No, they did say that. They said that in the 19-teens and 20s with Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
And because of Woodrow Wilson. You have no credibility. I'm going to talk to you about, you want credibility on this. Share at the top of the hour. I'll show you how you can have credibility on this. But until you do a couple of things, I suggest that we all dismiss anyone on either side that is talking about these statues. You have no credibility. No place to go. Answer a couple of questions. You answer them in the affirmative. Okay, all right. Tell me what you're thinking. Until that time, shut the pie hole. Not interested. Absolutely not interested. Coming up in just a second, our sponsor.
What about Coke Zero? Taste test.
We'll do that when we come back. I have a feeling they taste exactly the same.
No, well, they said they changed the formula.
Yeah. First of all, Coke, when did you learn? Did you learn anything? Stop changing formulas. Never works out for you. Never works out for you. Now this, 2012, delinquency rates on deep subprime car loans has hit a post-recession low. They've been ticking up. Delinquency rates on those car loans have now hit levels not seen since 2007. So should you be afraid? Nope. You should be prepared. Preparedness is what matters. Right now, My Patriot Supply has a 102-serving survival food kit, and it costs you about $99. Now, that is less than a dollar per serving. It will last up to 25 years. Less than a dollar per serving for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Ship free to your home.
All you have to do is call 800-200-7163 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. You will not rise to the levels of your expectations. You will rise to the level of your preparedness and education. So where are you? When there's trouble, make sure you're prepared. Call 800-200-7163 or preparewithglenn.com.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you're here. Okay. Coke Zero came out, and I believe this is absolutely nothing. This is just about appeasing foreign markets because America is now a secondary market. For almost everybody, it's a secondary market. So here is Coke Zero, and here is Coke Zero Sugar.
Now, you've had Coke Zero before. Maybe try that first. Get your palate set.
Okay, know exactly what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Coke Zero. Now, this is Coke Zero sugar.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
same exact form, same exact ingredients in the same order, but supposedly different formula.
Different. This one's sweeping the world. And? It actually tastes different.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. I think.
In a good
same
way or a bad
aftertaste.
Way?
Same aftertaste.
Is it better? Worse?
This is by far the most relevant part
taste,
of the news today.
Tastes almost like, you know how regular Coke tastes when you melt ice in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Watered down?
Tastes almost like that.
It tastes watered
so
down.
Closer to Coke?
Closer to Coke. More like a Pepsi-ish.
What are they doing?
Maybe it's just me. Let me try this.
Why?
Don't screw with my Coke Zero.
No, it is different.
Yeah?
Really? It is different. Noticeably different.
That's really interesting.
Noticeably different. Yeah.
Get a Casper mattress and start your year off right. Try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
You want to be part of this argument of take the statues down, leave the statues up? I suggest a couple of ground rules. I'm not going to listen to either side unless you can do a couple of things. Pretty simple. Really pretty simple. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, personally, I think we're looking at this whole statue thing all wrong. I personally believe this is a really good opportunity for us. This is an opportunity that really everybody in this audience has been working on for quite some time. And that is, let's go back and look at our history. Let's re-examine our history. America is not the raw Uncle Sam, you know, apple pie kind of place that we all want to believe it is. We have some really dark spots in our history. We also have some really great spots. We should recognize them both. You can't have the sweet without the bitter. You have to know all sides. I've often said, you know, Van Jones can talk all he wants about the bad things about America. I believe I can beat him in a contest of things that America did that were horrible. I believe I know our history far, far better than he does. And he's only looking at the bad side of history. I'm looking at both sides. I collect the bad things about American history for a reason, because our kids have absolutely no power when they walk into a school and they hear a professor tell them something about their country or their church or whatever. They have no power. They have no way to defend themselves because they've never heard this. And then they begin to think that everything you taught them was a lie because you didn't teach them the bad stuff. So teach your kids the bad stuff. Teach them the worst parts of American history. But make sure you do a couple of things. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure it's not coming from Howard Zinn. And because you don't need Howard Zinn to make it worse. Believe me, I can make it worse for you. I'll show you the truth of American history, parts that will melt the skin off of your face. Tell the bad parts, but then tell the good parts. And make sure you know the good parts as well. Make sure you have that accurate as well. That's really important to do. So I think that we have an opportunity here to look and reevaluate our country and say, yeah, you know what? There are some bad things that we did. For the people who think that we're all, you know, mom, baseball, and apple pie, we ain't all that. And yet we're every bit that. But here are the rules that I would like to set forth. Take on your own crap. I am not going to listen to you for 1 second if you want to take down the statues of the Confederacy. If you can't tell me that you also want to take down every statue and every memorial that has anything to do with Margaret Sanger, Woodrow Wilson, you want to hold those guys up? Oh, okay. You have no credibility. You have to be willing to take on your own side. When you're willing to do that, I'll listen to you. When you've started with those people, let me know. And by the way, don't cheer conservatives or don't cheer people from the South, because don't tell me you want to defend these statues until you can tell me what the Civil War was really about, because it was not about states' rights. I'm sorry. Read the Constitution of the Confederacy. If they loved America and they were trying to preserve America, why would they write a new constitution? And why would a main tenet of that constitution be that you can never abolish slavery? In fact, you were for the expansion of slavery. You didn't have a state right. If you had a state's right, you could actually opt out. It would say, look, you can be in or out. It doesn't matter. And I don't know about you, but if we were starting a new constitution because this one had failed, here's what I would do. I would say, let's start a new country. What do you say we use the old constitution? We maybe strengthen it here or there or clarify a few things because it went wrong over time. What do you think? That's what I would do. So unless you can tell me that Jefferson Davis was a traitor to the Constitution of the United States, don't start out on your Lincoln nonsense. Oh, well, you know, he violated the Constitution. Your side threw the Constitution out entirely. So please, give it a rest.
Yeah, see, Glenn Beck's taken on, he's taken on the right. Yeah, look at him take on the right. You've got Margaret Sanger. Both of you, shut your pie holes.
When you're willing to do that first step, then you can come to the table. Until you're willing to do that, I've got no time for you. Quite honestly, I don't think we have any time for the whole argument right now. Is this the biggest thing you've got going on in your life? Is this the thing? Just ask this question. Is this the thing that's going to fix us? Out of all of the things that we can do, out of all of the priorities that we have, because we're a nation on the edge, out of all of the priorities,
This is what we choose to work on? This is it? Really? If the nation decides, yep, yeah, that's it, that's the most important, if we are actually making that choice, then we're doomed. We're doomed. But I think people will say, well, I'm not making that choice. The media is. The media. Oh, I know you're so oppressed by the media, aren't you? Oh, my gosh. I know they come over to your house and they force you to watch. They turn it on in your house and they just force you to watch. And then they force you to get angry about it. And then they force you to march. And then they force you to get into all these little clubs and argue about it on Facebook. Oh my gosh, they're so oppressive. Who's in charge of your life? You or them? That's an honest question. Who's in charge of your life? Now, first step, you're not forced to do anything. But I don't want to hear from you until you can rat out your own side and take on your own issues from your own people first. Second thing you have to do, don't talk to me about slavery or the mistakes of the past until you've actually addressed the mistakes and the errors and the horrors of today. Oh, these founders, they were horrible. They were slave owners. And those who aren't slave owners, well, they stood by. They did nothing. Boy, I tell you, if I were alive back then, I would have been an abolitionist. Really? 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 Do you know that there are more slaves today than there were during the entire 400-year period of the Western slave trade combined? More slaves alive today than over a 400-year period. Yeah, well, that's another country. I can't do anything about that. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I forgot how freaking powerless you are. There's all kinds of things you can do. When you become an abolitionist, I'll give you a head start. Go to OURrescue.org. That's just one way you can become an abolitionist. We're actually going to be making an announcement at mercury1.org very soon about the Nazarene Fund. You can go right now to the Nazarene Fund. You will not believe what our goal is when we announce it here in the coming weeks. We're going to be freeing some slaves as well. You can go to the Nazarene Fund. Go to mercury1.org and donate to the Nazarene Fund. Those are just two ways. You can find other ways. You can find other people who are stopping modern day slavery. But until you put your time and your money where your fat frickin' mouth is, shut it. There are slaves today. And you know what's amazing? I have spoken to many of them that have been freed, and they are more powerful and less oppressed than you are by the statues that are just telling me I'm worthless. Give it a frickin' rest. Now, let me show you the difference between Antifa and the Nazis. The Nazis, millions dead. The communists, Antifa, millions dead. The Nazis were for national socialism. The communists are international socialists. The Nazis, of course, were, you know, fighting for the economy because the banks had lost control. The communists were, for the economy because the banks were out of control. Both of them thought that the banks were controlled by the evil Jews. That one they have in common every single time. They wanted to also get rid of the capitalist. If you were a capitalist, you were an enemy of both the Nazis and the communists. They both believed in a superior race. They also believed in medicine for all, but the only way you can afford that was to kill the inferior. Oh, but don't forget, that's the Nazis and the communists. So I can see where the real choice is between these two. I can see that they're so radically different that you have to be against one and before the other. I just don't know where the difference is that we're being presented with right now. Of course, well, the Nazis, of course, are for white supremacists, and Antifa, of course, is siding with the black supremacists. So we've got a huge difference there, because the white supremacists are, you know, claiming a superior race, as are the black supremacists. And the white man is being held back because of all these blacks, according to the white supremacist. And the black supremacists claim that they're being held back because of all these whites. Of course, they both believe that their race has been polluted by the other. And they also both believe they're going to take our women. That's one of my favorites. And so what do they both end up doing? Well, it usually starts with protests, then it goes to riots, and then it goes to violence, and then they just end up killing people because they hate all people that are not white, or they hate every iota of them white crackers. So, where are you? Do you stand with the people that believe in violence and the silencing of those who disagree, that have a history of death and riots and terror, that believe in their own version of eugenics? Because if you do, then you're with the Nazis and Antifa and the white supremacists and the black supremacists. You see, I'm not for any of these guys, and I don't think you are either. I think there's bigger fish to fry than the frickin' statue in the park. I don't like the Jefferson Davis statue. I've never understood it. I think it's wrong. The guy was a traitor to the United States of America. He was a traitor to humanity. Well, I don't like that. I feel the same way about Che. We're memorializing him. And of course, the Lenin statues all over the country, that those are always great. But there's one other thing that you need to do. First, take on your own side. Second, become a modern day abolitionist. And then a third one, I'll give to you a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. It's burglary season. This is the time of the year that you go off on vacation and the burglar comes into your house. Burglary spikes. That's why Simply Safe Home Security has extended their biggest ever summer sale to September 3rd. Don't miss out on the offer. Leave your home this summer feeling secure. They have $100 off the Simply Safe special summer package. It has everything you need to keep your home safe from intruders. It has around-the-clock monitoring, $15 a month, and there's no long-term contract, nothing to lock you in. It is protection done right. Don't miss out. This offer ends September 3rd. It's simplysavebeck.com. Save $100 today. Simplysavebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment, entertainment. And enlightenment.
And enlightenment.
We are one.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
There's a ton of things that I have to do this year. One of them, get organized, get into better shape, spend more time with family and friends. And to do it all, I have to be well rested. And that starts with getting a great night's sleep, which
You're guaranteed to get every night when you sleep on a Casper mattress like I do. Casper is, I think, the perfect mattress, not only because it is really, really comfortable, it supports my back and everything else, but it is so wildly inexpensive when you A-B compare. Casper mattress, I'm not alone in loving it. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. The mattress ships for free in a box so small you're going to be saying to yourself, how the heck do they get it in there? Get a Casper now. Start your year off right. Try yours in your home for 100 nights free with shipping and returns. Go to casper.com/glen. That's $50 off the purchase of your mattress. You can do it right now. casper.com/glen. $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Inexpensive and a great night's sleep. casper.com/glen. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So why is someone taking the statues down? Why are we arguing about these statues? Why? We're arguing because the American story is up for grabs. Everything in your life is about storyline. Whether you know it or not, it is the American story, and what you believe about us that makes all the difference. If you only hear the stories of all of the bad things, we're a bad place. If you only hear the story of all of the good things, we're a good place. Remember I said everything that you thought you could believe in, you won't believe in anymore. That everything will be that you thought was solid will be liquid. That includes the story of who we are as a people. But it's going far beyond that. Because to change the story of who we are as a people, we also must change the story of who you are as a person. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain rights that just can never be taken away. And just a couple of them are that you have a right to life. You have a right to liberty, that nobody can just come and take your life. Nobody can come and just barge in, take your liberty without a trial, without even being able to face your accuser. Nobody can do that. And that you have a right to your stuff, that your life's work means something. Your intellectual and physical property, your pursuit of happiness is yours. It's yours. And you've been given that right by God. And we hold those truths to be self-evident. And we say, everybody believes that. You can wake me up in the dead of night and, hey, should somebody be able to come in and just take you in the middle of the night? Just break your door down and take you and your family never hears from you again? We'd all say no. But those are not self-evident to the people in China. They have been brutalized for so long and been made the collective for so long that those are not self-evident rights to them. That would take real education to learn those as a right. If you want to change a country's story, you have to re-educate the entire population, or they'll just, if they remember that story, they'll just keep recreating that story. More in a second.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know how to fix our country. I don't know how to solve the problems of the world. I don't know how to solve the problems that the president is facing right now. I don't know any of those things. I don't.
Other talk show hosts, maybe they do. I don't. I have poured the last 16 years of my life on September probably 12th. I began to realize I am going to be a national voice and I am wildly unprepared. And I promised the audience at that time, it was probably mid-September, and I don't remember what we were dealing with, but it had something to do with Israel. And I came on the air and I said, I don't know the answer. I really don't. I don't know what the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is really all about. I didn't pay attention to anything. And boy, am I regretting it now. But I made a promise to the audience, and if you were part of that audience, perhaps you remember, in 2001, I will do my best to find the answer. I will do my best to figure out what is happening and who the bad guys are and who the good guys are and come back to you. And you may not like the answer, but it'll be the answer that I have found. And I've tried to live up to that promise to you and to myself. In the last few years, the last five, really, I have beaten my head against the wall, trying to come up with an answer that people would want to hear, that people would want to engage in. And I can't come up with one because the answers are all too hard in some way because they're all too simple. And our problems are so complex that people don't want to believe the simple will work. And it's amazing because everything that the Judeo-Christian world was built on points to these particular solutions. And the solutions are, don't hate people. Don't hate people. Don't get sucked into the vortex of hate. You've got to love your enemy. And there's a million excuses on why that won't work. And there's a million reasons on why you can't get past that. I want to focus this week on a few stories where that is proven to be a lie. And in my own particular life and in the life of our country and our planet, you can get past the hate. It's just really hard. And it does change things. For us to be more empathetic. Now, none of this means that you sit down and just take it and you don't stand up for what is right and what is righteous. You have to. You have to. Jesus was anything but a wimp. I don't know if you noticed that. He turned the tables over. He was very clear, but he was very clear consistently. He was about love and forgiveness. And man, I don't know who you can't forgive. And I know how hard forgiveness is. I don't know why you think it's so hard to forgive, because I've never been nailed to a cross and then said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. They've crucified me. They clearly know what they're doing. So it's hard for me to forgive my neighbor. It's hard for me to forgive that person at church, that person in the office, that person on television, that person, wherever. Now that requires them
wanting forgiveness if it's a two-way street. Otherwise, if they don't want it, you got to let it go because it's going to eat you and consume you. But the other is storyline. As I said a few minutes ago, the problem with our country is, and write these words down. I think by 2024, 2025, it's a different world. And I mean a radically different world. Definitely by 2030. So much so, you this will seem like old-timey stuff. This might even seem like the good old days. I don't know, but it's going to be radically different. Everything is changing. And when everything changes, it's all being rewritten. Somebody is rewriting the way society is going to function. And I don't mean that like they're in a star chamber. I mean, technology is changing. That rewrites the way we relate to each other. Facebook has rewritten. Facebook is the television, the telephone, the pen pal, and the talk radio of today, all in one. You have all of those devices in just that one application, and it's better than all of those applications before. So everything's being rewritten, including the story of our nation. And it shouldn't have come as a surprise to you. But if you want to have a seat at the table of rewriting, then I'm sorry. I know it's hard to believe this, but the only times it's ever been tried, it wins. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he did win in the end. He died 5 days before Hitler died, but his cause won. Abraham Lincoln, the American Revolution versus the French Revolution. One was about love. One was about the collective and hate, revenge. Which ones? Which side do you want to be on? But the true answer is even smaller than us forgiving each other. It really is. We shouldn't be worried about our country's story as much as we should be worried about our own story. And I'd like to pick this up there on tomorrow's show. But I'd like to ask you to come to the table tomorrow with something. If you really want to make a change, if you really want to be a part of the solution, you know, this show talks to millions of people. And maybe there's millions upon millions that actually want something useful and want to actually do something. Or maybe there's only a handful of those people and the rest are listening to this as entertainment to fill their days and to feel something. And neither of those are bad. But if you are somebody that actually wants to change something, I want you to do an exercise with me. I want you to come tomorrow prepared. I want you today, while you're at work or while you're at home, I want you to make a list of all of the bad things that have happened in your life, all of the things that have held you back, all of the things that have been the great struggles of your life that have just not allowed you to do the things that you need to do.
Write them down. Because I bet you we have a lot in common, all of us. And I'd like to pick it up there on tomorrow's broadcast. Join me. Sponsor this half hour is ProFlowers. ProFlowers right now is reminding you, just do something nice for somebody because you can. Because somebody loves you. Not because you're apologizing. I mean, apologize if you have to apologize. Send flowers. If you did something stupid this weekend, send flowers. But even if you didn't, send flowers. Do something for somebody special in your life. Just surprise somebody for no reason at all. And right now you can get 20% off their unique summer rose bouquets or any other bouquet of $29 or more at proflowers.com. They have rainbow roses. When you're not sure what to send somebody, ProFlowers, their bouquets are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. And you control the delivery date, so you can do it now. Or if you have a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks, or you just want to surprise somebody just out of the blue, just pick a date and send them. ProFlowers, 20% off their summer roses or any other bouquet of $29 or more. Go to proflowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn at checkout. It is proflowers.com, promo code Glenn. Don't wait. Make somebody's day special. Do it today at proflowers.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, you're talking about rewriting history. The National Museum of African American History and Culture is going to put into the museum Colin Kaepernick.
Ugh.
Right.
What do you?
You know, after they wouldn't honor Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Right.
No Supreme Court justice.
No Clarence Thomas.
Right.
But Colin Kaepernick. I mean, how is that? You know, our museums mean nothing if they don't tell both sides of the story. They mean nothing. How is this museum being funded by us? You know, look, you want to tell stories. You know, you want to tell one side of the story, that's fine. But if you're trying to show, you know, people that actually made a difference in our society, you could make the case that for a very short period of time, Colin Kaepernick made an impact. But Clarence Thomas has made a lasting impact.
Well, Kaepernick definitely made an impact. It's just usually for the other team. That's just, I mean, that is the typically the impact was made for the defense, which is why he's out of the league. It has nothing to do with his stupid stances. But you're right. Clarence Thomas is arguably the most important man in America right now. Right? I mean, if it was not for Clarence Thomas, where would we be? The only guy who seems to be able to actually hold the line on constitutional principles, and that includes several other Supreme Court justices. Hopefully Gorsuch will be into that group. But when you lose Scalia, you're talking potentially of the most important man in America, and he can't be honored?
Yeah, a guy who's probably even more conservative than Scalia.
Yeah,
I mean, arguably, he's imperative on that Supreme Court. But they couldn't have anything to do with him because I don't know. What is the battle cry? He's not black enough because he's conservative. It's really unbelievable. But if you sit your butt down for the national anthem, then you belong in the museum.
Did you see the Kansas Police Department responding to a guy named Blake Albert? He looks to be about, I don't know, 20, looks to be a total moron. And he was, you know, vaping.
Oh yeah. I love this.
And, so he's looking all gangsta and, he's like, wait, you guys
right in front of a cop car.
So he goes and he vapes in front of this cop car looking all gangsta. And the Lawrence, Kansas Police Department tweeted out, "I'm really sorry, Blake. This is kind of awkward, but that's not a police car. You vaped in front of a water service vehicle."
So great.
What a moron.
The story from the Blaze today, and they have some of the comments from the replies. Do you do requests, Blake? Maybe a fire truck next, or perhaps a municipal land tax assessor vehicle. That's so gangsta, homie. Disrespect the water authority. No agua, no peace. No agua, no peace. Next time, get even more badass. Hit up the county code enforcement Prius.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff.
I think what we need to take from this is this tweet from the Lawrence Police Department is, of course, another case of police brutality. Now, let's all get out there and burn the retinas out of our eyes by looking directly at the sun.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.